We have a message that I want to bring today in 1 John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, turn there if you would. 1 John chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 5. And we could say it's a very elementary message. Very plain, very simple, that anyone can understand, really. The topic of the message, and what I see in these verses, is that God is light. God is light. There is no darkness in Him. There is no sin, no impurity. But God is perfectly holy and righteous. He is light. Let's read these verses. John, 1 John, the epistle. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Let's pray before we continue. Lord God, we just thank You again that You're God. Thank You that everything that happens in our life, You know of it. Not only You know it, but You have ordained it to come to pass. We thank You that You're good to Your children. You never leave us nor forsake us. We thank You. And we pray that You would help us, grow us today. Help us to see and understand more of who You are. And also to understand Your word better. That we understand it in the context, that we understand it together with the rest of Scripture. Teach us and grow us in Your truth. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. So God is light. We talk about God, and we're not just talking about some mystical outside force. If you talk with people today, they will say, oh yeah, I believe in God. I just don't know the specifics. I don't know if Jesus was sent from Him, or Muhammad, or Ellen G. White. But I believe in God. There must be a creator. See, as soon as you say that, you already have made up a God in your own mind. Because we need to go to the Word of God and ask, who is God? And we find it here. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we look at every other human being apart from Jesus, we see some darkness. In Jesus, there was no darkness, no sin. Now, I'm not using darkness as mystery or as something hidden. I'm using darkness as sin, as a wrongdoing against God in thought, in word, in deed, what you do, what you think, what you say. It doesn't matter. But darkness is anything that goes against God. You look at Jesus and you see perfection. You see light. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is light. The Bible says He is. John 8 verse 12, Jesus spake again unto them saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So God is light, not just some mystical God out there, but the God that the Bible describes. God who exists three in one, three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So when we read Jesus saying, I am the light of the world, He's not differentiating Himself from the Father, but He is saying, I am the light of the world because He is of the Father. In one place He said, do you not know that I am in the Father and the Father is in Me? He said that because He is one with the Father. Everything that He did was pleasing to the Father because He is one with the Father. So God is light, We have to look at it as God complete. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit together are light. Today, sometimes there are people who will separate God out and say, no, oh, Jesus, He came and He embodied what love is. He showed what love is. Now, God, on the other hand, in the Old Testament, He would destroy a nation. You can't separate that out. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are perfectly one in unity. There is no separation of thought. God is a stern God who does bad things, and then Jesus is the loving one whom we all like. You know, then you've already made up a God in your mind that is not the God of Scripture. See, when God punishes sinners, He does right. He does what is right. If God punished us for our sin, apart from Christ, if we did not have Christ, He would do right by punishing us for our sin. But once we trust in Christ, He can no longer punish us because He said that He would punish His Son in our stead. Now He cannot punish us if we have trusted in Christ, because He has accepted us in Christ. He will no longer punish us. I'm saying this because God is perfect in unity. He is light. There is no mystery where the Father is mad and the Son is happy. The Father is mad and the Son comes and loves everyone. You know, there are pictures like that. And with some movies that are coming out today, they paint a picture of Jesus in a humanistic way where it's just all love. Where the flesh, that's why the world actually likes some of those movies, because it is so fleshly that the world can like it. Oh, I like someone like that who just loves me in my sin. It's okay, it doesn't matter how I live. Well, they have taken God and made Him into a liar. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Maybe that's not specifically what they're doing, but that's the outcome of it. Saying we have not sinned, we have not troubled God because Jesus just comes and loves us as we are. Well, we gotta see that the Bible requires something of the believer. If we don't surrender ourselves to Christ, we don't say, God, I am yours, we don't put our trust in Him, then we have not seen our sin. When we see our sin, and we see who Jesus is, and we say, Lord, I'm giving myself to You. I have nothing. I have nothing in me that is good. I would trust in You. I cannot trust in myself, but I would trust in You. God is light, and God is perfect in unity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16, speaking about God, it says, who only has immortality. God is the only one who has immortality. Our bodies have mortality. Our bodies will die, but our soul will not, because we have it from God. But God, the only one who has immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. 1 Timothy 6 describes God as the one who has immortality, the one who dwells in light and man cannot even approach. That's the natural picture. God is so light, so bright, so much light, so holy. We cannot even approach Him. That is how it naturally is. Well, then how can we approach God? How can we come to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I trust in Christ. How can we do that? We can do that only through Christ, only because of Christ. Then we might think, well, how did they in the Old Testament approach God? Well, it was only by faith. No one can please God apart from faith in God. It's because God has made that as the means by which He counts us as righteous, by which He accepts us, is through faith. God is light. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. When we look to the future, look to heaven, often humanistically we think that is the perfect place. Well, it is, but why? Because God is perfect, and He does not let sin enter there. That's why our sin must be paid for. We cannot go to heaven and pay our sins. We cannot go to purgatory and pay our sins and then go to heaven. Either we pay for our sins for all eternity in hell, or we trust in Christ that He has paid for our sins, that we can now go to heaven on His merits, not on ours. Revelation 21 and 22 talk about heaven as the place of light. It says, the city has no need for the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelation 22:5 says, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What does that mean? There'll be only light because there'll be no sin. There'll be no darkness, the way the Bible describes darkness. Everything will be light, fully transparent and visible light. In Psalm 104 verse 2, it describes God as one who is covered with light as with a garment. Well, to put a little bit more weight to what the light of God is, that God is light, I want to also look a little bit about what is darkness. What does the Bible say about darkness? If we just think about darkness, well, if you remove all light, then it will be dark. You remove the sun, you remove the moon, you remove the light that we have on in here, it'll be dark. Nobody will see nobody. It'll be so dark. Well, did you know that that is also the default for a person? When it says that we are dead in sin, that is darkness. That is the default. That's why we need Jesus to come and give us His light. It says in Ephesians 2 verse 1, you has He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That is darkness. That is walking in trespasses and sins, walking according to the ways of this world. That is darkness. Darkness is not only the worst possible sin someone can do. Think about someone who is in the gang in Blee City and murders their opponents. That's darkness, right? Or you might think of someone who steals. They go and they steal and they come back and they steal again. Well, you might think that's darkness. Well, it is, but it's not only the worst possible sins. Darkness is simply a life without Christ. Because if you don't have Christ, you don't have light. It says in 1 John 2 verse 4, and just a few verses further from where we're at, it says, he that says, I know Him, and keeps not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. In verse 11 it says, 1 John 2 verse 11, he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Well, those things are synonymous. You say you know God, but you don't keep His commandments. You're a liar, or you're in darkness. You say you hate your brother, well, you're in darkness. It even says if you love God but you hate your brother, you're a liar. You cannot love God and then hate your brother. That's impossible. 1 John says that. That is what is darkness. It says that we are brought from darkness to light. That's what God does by His grace. If we look a little bit at the nature of man, it says in Job 15 verse 14, what is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? It's like a rhetorical question. How could a man be clean? How could he be righteous before God? Or Proverbs 20 verse 9, which says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? It's also a rhetorical question. Who can say, I am clean? We cannot say that by ourselves. We don't have a way to clean ourselves and then say, God, now come and look at me. We don't have anything good in us. Romans 3 says, Verse 10, there is none righteous. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. In this darkness, sinners cannot have fellowship with God. Sometimes we talk of, oh, yes, I believe in Christ, but I'm still just a sinner. Well, you got to be careful with saying that. Because if you're in Christ, you're not just a sinner. You're now a saint. Yes, you will still have sin that you struggle with, that you work with, that you war with sometimes. You will still have that struggle with sin, but you're not just a sinner. You're now a saint. You're changed. You're different. You're a new creature in Christ. Sinners who don't have Christ, they cannot have fellowship with God, just like darkness cannot exist in the presence of light. If you have a dark room and you switch on a light, you can't find any darkness in there anymore. The light overcomes the darkness. God's light overcomes the darkness. This doesn't mean that wherever we go, everyone will become a believer, because this light is a spiritual light that God has to put inside of someone's heart. This is not a light that from the outside will change a person. This is a light that God puts internally. And then it's visible externally, but it doesn't automatically go in someone else. It's visible because the Bible says, well, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then in Matthew it says that you are the light of the world. It talks to the believers that they are light. The world will see that you are light, even though that doesn't automatically make them light. But God uses that light to speak to the heart of those who do not yet believe. It says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? The world is darkness, but God is light. Sinners, in their sin, cannot have fellowship with God, but it goes further than that. It says that in different places in Scripture that God does not listen to sinners. Now, I have said in the past that if you haven't trusted in Christ, God cannot even hear your prayer. Or God doesn't. God just says, no, I'm not hearing your prayer. I have since changed my view a little bit, where I think the Bible says, let me quote a verse here for you, in Psalm 66 verse 18, says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I think this is the key. Someone who lives in their sin and wants their sin and is not seeking after God, and all of a sudden they come across an accident and they say, God help me. God is not going to listen to them. Now, God can change their heart where they will start to ask for God out of wanting to know God. Yes, God will hear that. But what I'm saying is, there are people who want to use God as their vending machine. Okay, when I want the cookie, I'll put in a dollar and I'll get out a cookie. Once I'm thirsty for a Coke, I'll go and put in the money I need and then I'll get out a Coke. Once I need help from God, I'll pray to Him and then He'll give me my help. God is not a vending machine where you go and you put in your prayer and now God gives you out what you ask for. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is not a means by which we say, oh, I want a new vehicle. Let me pray and then God gives it to me. There are some people who act like that's what God is for. Like a vending machine. That's not what He is. God is light. If you regard iniquity in your heart, you know you have sin, you want your sin, you don't want God, you say, I will live like I want to live. But when I need something from God, then I'll ask Him for that. When I want something from God, then I'll ask Him for that. The reason I'm saying this is because you need to surrender your life to God. Then He will hear you. You need to seek after God. Then He will hear you. The Bible says that if you seek for God with all your heart, you will find Him. It's not because of you, but if you actually have a heart to seek for God with all your heart, it's because God has already been working in you and seeking you. Romans 3 says we don't seek after God. Our nature does not want God. Why? Because we're in darkness. John chapter 3 says, John chapter 3 verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, And men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. So why does a sinner not find God? Because he loves his sin. He wants to remain in it. He does not want to have his sin exposed and reproved, corrected. Everyone that does evil, lives in evil, hates the light, neither comes to the light. So someone who lives for himself, lives for Satan, lives for worldly pleasures, one day has trouble and prays to God because he would like for the trouble to be removed. But remember, darkness cannot come to the light. You gotta have a change of heart. You gotta see that you need Christ and then call to him. I'm not discouraging anyone. My plan is not to discourage anyone from praying today. My plan is to encourage you all to pray to God with all your heart, with all your life. Give everything to Christ and pray. Don't think that he won't hear you. If you come to him and surrender to him, then he will, because he has promised that he will. But if you regard iniquity, you regard sin in your heart, you say, I will not let go of my sin, well then God will not hear you. It says in Isaiah 59 verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Or Proverbs 28 verse 9, he that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Someone says, I don't want to hear God's word. I don't want nothing to do with God. But you pray to God, well, your prayer is an abomination. God knows your heart. In John 9, we have the story of the blind man who was given sight. Jesus healed him. But the Pharisees were mad that Jesus had again healed someone. And they said, we don't know who this person is that healed you, but he's a sinner. And this blind man who had received his sight, he already had received some truth from God. And he said, we know that God hears not sinners. He said that because if you say that this man who healed you is just a sinner, he couldn't have healed me. What he's saying is, God does not listen to sinners. Those who just live in their sin. They don't want God for their life. They don't want to surrender their life to God. They just want to get him as a vending machine. Let me give something to God and then he'll give something back to me. You know, that's even popular in some gatherings today that call themselves churches, where they will say, well, if you give money to the church, God will give more money to you. So the means for you to get something from God is to give something to God. It's like a vending machine. Now bring your whole paycheck, give it to the church, and God will give you even more money next time. Now, God blesses giving. I'm not speaking against giving to God. God does bless giving. But it has to come from a heart that wants to give. If you give in order for God to give you more, your motive is wrong. If you give out of a willing heart to give to God, God will bless that. But I'm saying this again because God is light. God doesn't play mystical tricks where, okay, yeah, if you give him a lot of money, he'll give you even more money. It's not a means. Giving to God, I think, should be in a Christian's life because of our love for God. We want to give to God, and I think we should. It comes in many different forms. It's not just giving to the church. It's giving time for someone else. It's, you see someone poor, it's helping them out. Those are things where you give to God. It says here that if we walk in the light, we are cleansed from all sin. In verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what does that mean? Isn't this just works now? We can just start confessing our sins, saying what all we've done wrong in the past, and then God will just have to forgive us. And then we can continue living however we want. We just keep confessing and God has to forgive us. I used to have a similar thought to this because that's what I was taught. I was told, basically, maybe it was indirectly, but I was told, you have to confess your sin to the preacher, to the church, and then you can be saved. Then God will save you. Because it says, if we confess our sins. Now, in verse 7 it says, if we walk in the light. Verse 9 it says, if we confess our sins. Now, I want you to see the context here and read it all. It says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What is He saying here? He is putting one thing against the other. One, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. But on the other hand, if you confess your sin, God is faithful to forgive all your sin. The confession, number one, is a confession to God that yes, I have sinned against God. Yes, I need Jesus. The confession here is not about going to a person and confessing all your sins. You may need to confess one of your sins to someone. Maybe because you wronged them. Maybe because you need help to overcome the sin. It's bothering you. You don't want to do it anymore. It is good to ask someone to help you be accountable to them and that they will pray for you. It says in James 5 that we should ask for prayer for such things. But the point here is, if we walk in the light, what does that mean? It means we've already said, yes, I have sinned. We've already come to Christ and said, I believe in you, I trust in you, Jesus. And then we walk in the light. Our life is not a secret, hidden life where we live in sin, but then we come to church and act like a Christian. That's not walking in the light. Walking in the light is opening our life to the church and to the world and saying, this is my life. That doesn't mean that everything you do, you publish to the world. But your life, your moral life, how you live, you expose it yourself. You want it to be open because you want accountability and you want others to see that you are living for Christ. You're not just living for yourself. You're not living for Satan, but you're living for God. That is walking in the light, not hiding your sins, but bringing them into the light. It says in John 3, the one who does evil, who lives in evil, refuses to come to the light unless his deeds, so that his deeds would not be exposed. If we walk in the light, we are cleansed from all sin. It's not just that, okay, once we do this, then we're cleansed from all sin. But we will walk in the light if we are believers. And then we will have fellowship with one another. And we will be cleansed from all sin. The cause is not what we do, but that what we do is a result of us being born again. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But then he said in John 12:35, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knows not whither he goes. Jesus is the light. If you come to Him, you give your life to Him, well then you will also walk in the light as He is in the light. I want to address one more thing here. In verse 8 it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. There is a thought out there sometimes that a Christian has sinless perfection. The thought is not that we are always perfect, but the thought is that we can be perfect and without sin. Well, if someone says that I can be perfect, I don't know, I've heard someone say that, I don't know when I last sinned. I've been without sin for months. Well, that person is a liar. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is present tense. If we say that we have no sin, even right now, your flesh is still with you. Even if you're a believer, your flesh is with you and there is sin in your flesh. See, this is why we must recognize the only way we are saved is by grace through faith. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. If it had to do with us remaining perfect, no one could be saved. Only Jesus. But He is the cause of our salvation. Because He was perfect and because He died for our sin, we can be saved. But if we had to be perfect without sin, even for a moment, we would be only be deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, this is not to say that we walk around in big sins. It's not what 1 John is saying. 1 John, as we'll go through this, you'll see it goes against it. You cannot be saying that you love God, but you hate your brother. Then you're not a believer. It says that. There are very clear things. But there are other things that are still in our flesh that we struggle with. That has to do with the sin that is still remaining in us. We struggle with because we're believers. If we're not believers, it wouldn't be a struggle. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So sinless perfectionism is false. And those who teach it are false teachers. Now, I'll end with this last part. So what are we to do to live in the light, to walk in the light? Well, it says in Ephesians 5 verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So what does he say? Don't walk in darkness, but also don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If you know someone else is living in sin, and you spend a lot of time with them, well, then you are now fellowshipping with that darkness. Light cannot fellowship with darkness. You'd have to compromise. It says, instead, reprove it. That means you bring light. You bring the Word of God and say, this is wrong. Don't do this. The Bible says not to fornicate, not to commit adultery, not to give your brain to, pharmakeia, which I think is speaking of nowadays what is drugs and alcohol does that, where you alter your mind because of the flesh. Because you want to feel differently. You're not okay with the brain that God has given you. I think in the future, it might be AI. Someone wants to put it in their brain so that it can help them think. It can help them instantly access all the knowledge and data that is in the world. Because people are not okay with the mind that God has given them. That is not trusting in God, but trusting in ourselves, trusting in our flesh, wanting the things of our flesh. So what is it to walk in the light? It is to reprove those things that are wrong, to bring light to those things that are wrong. And then, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The light of Christ, the gospel of Christ, is what brings light and life to a dark world. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's a thought I want to close with. In Romans 8 it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Sometimes it may feel like, well, we've had friends or we know people who we interact with and they walk in darkness and oh, I'm scared if I will bring some light to the situation, they will hate me or they will do something to me. Well, Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If you are on God's side, God is also on your side. God will not let anything happen to you that He has not calculated and ordained that this will bring Him glory and it will be for your good. So don't compromise the truth. Don't live your life in darkness because you're scared of what it will do to bring the light. Be discerning. You don't have to go and put an atomic bomb of light everywhere. Be discerning with bringing the truth to a dark world, but don't compromise. Bring the truth. Bring God's light to this world, because God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light, we will have fellowship with Him, and we will have fellowship one with another as believers. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Thank You that You are light, and that You have put that light inside of us, inside of Your children. We pray, God, that You will make us more effective, more useful in Your kingdom. You would help us to serve You in the place where we are at. Help us to be content and happy where we are, and not constantly be thinking about what all else we need and want, but to be content and grateful for the things that You have given us, that You have blessed us with, and where we are at now. Help us to serve You faithfully. And we ask all these things for Your glory, for Your sake. In Jesus' name, amen.